Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood. Justin, I see you. Can I hear you? Well, I don't have any audio on you, but it could be on my end. We'll see. Well, okay. Justin, I'm sure, you know, Justin's working on his audio, so just chime in there just as soon as you get that breaking connection there. So Justin and I were talking about some things before the show began today, and we were going to talk about the effect on the upcoming election and its effect on business to a lesser extent. You know, we talk about prison issues, but I'd like to focus on business and or even coaching, how people conduct their coaching business and coaching practice. I hear somebody, but I don't know if that's our producer that I hear in the background or. All right. So anyway, so with the upcoming election, depending on who gets in, I think our culture certainly has made some huge changes and on how services are delivered and rendered, particularly those that are personal services, such as coaching or counseling or psychotherapy. And I know that obviously everybody that's a coach or counselor, even physicians as well, are resorting to telehealth types of platforms to see their clients and to keep going, even though it seems like it's nowhere near the intimate contact that you could have. It seems to suffice in just like with schools. Producer Ronan and I were talking about how, you know, kids aren't in school necessarily. Some kids are still doing online learning. It's a methodology, but I think it in many, many ways it falls short to having that life contact. And so we're just seeing how that will be affected in the months ahead. I know Justin's always got his eyes around the corner on what's happening in the business world in terms of marketing and branding and those things. And to a lesser extent, I wouldn't even say I have my eye around the corner on much of anything. I'm kind of going with the flow with things, right? you know, things are getting back to, I don't want to say back to normal, but with the coaching practice, seeing more and more live clients again, it's very nice. We still social distance, and let me show you what I got here. And we use stuff like this, right? Hand sanitizer with aloe, and if about this, is it put it on there and you can't get it off, is the biggest complaint. Where's my, and then here's the other version. Is good 80%+ alcohol, and this stuff is the opposite in that it evaporates almost immediately, and you forget whether or not you had sanitized your hands or not.
Which one is better, Bruce?
There we go. You're back, man. I was like show and tell, and then. If you want to wipe your hand, now let me finish. And then I have.
Are we doing show and tell? I can do show and tell. We can do show and tell.
This is a 3-minute hourglass. And I have a collection of hourglasses here. 3 years of team. I'll let my longer winded folks rip and run until the sand is. All right, man. Well, welcome back, man. Long time no here, right?
I know. It's been a little bit. Been completely entrenched with, you know, my project right now, which has been going really well. And have gotten the real estate stuff, which I restarted on back in May in Texas, but for California. Starting to pick up a little bit, which is nice. People are, especially in the real estate world, people are seeing this election as an impasse moment where they're kind of hesitant as what's going to happen after that. So it's good for me, you know, as that whole deal in California, you know, I want to get in a house before the end of the year, because what they're really saying is, hey, I don't know what's going to take shape after this election. So that has been interesting. I spent most of the weekend showing properties and helping some folks out here.
What's the tenor in California if Biden wins in terms of real estate versus if Trump wins in terms of real estate? Can you compare and contrast what folks are thinking?
Yeah, I think people are thinking if Trump wins, there's going to be sort of a natural, kind of a natural shift in the market and interest rates in particular, which are, you know, super low right now, are going to start to naturally rise again, because, I mean, they've been low for several years now. And someone's proposed, or he's put out there, that he's going to have certain, proposals in place. Yeah, incentives or whatever you want to call them, to kind of continue that trail. Although I don't know how that lines up with his tax strategy. So... We'll see. It's going to be a very interesting election. And I think people, like, actually, I already voted. I sent my mail in last night. So trying to be on the forefront of stuff there. So we'll see. I think people right now are just a little bit kind of scared and confused, right? I mean, I don't know that either candidate's really outstanding. As far as, you know, serving our country and being a good leader and being diplomatic. I mean, I don't think he's definitely not. He definitely takes a sledgehammer to pretty much anything. But, you know, he's also had a lot of results, you know, with policies around Iran, China, right? So we've had some good movement overseas with, you know, some of our formidable enemies, or that have been kind of our enemies, competitors for years. So I've been following it pretty closely, though. I mean, how about you, Bruce? Have you been following this pretty closely, tuning into the debates and whatnot?
Well, following it as much as I can before my head explodes. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's like you said, it's just going to be really interesting and kind of a, as a student of human behavior, just kind of seeing how, you know, there's just, I mean, I have clients that suffer from like Trump anxiety or whatever, you know, and then you're seeing that they come in weekly and tell me their biggest fear, if Trump were to get reelected, and I, you know, listen to them with an empathetic ear. Okay, well, we'll just have to see, and, you know, we've survived 4 years already and the world hasn't come to an end. And I've been following it, and it's just you know, you really can't tell. I feel like I really can't tell how, I mean, even if it went either way, obviously, that, you know, after 4 years of whoever's in office, you're going to see some effects, make no mistake about it. That first year, things are so strange right now. I just don't see how we pull out of where we are right now in an all-fire hurry. Now, that's just me. I don't know how you feel about that. But and the other thing I was going to ask you and in social media, and I mean, California, your state right now, where you're at anyway, is really been the forefront of, you know, is it a model? Is it not? Are people, do you find as a real estate person, are people leaving California? Is that just a lot of hype? I know Joe Rogan just went to Austin and, you know, but what, tell me your thoughts on the California exodus.
I think, well, yeah, people are leaving California. People are also coming to California. I think it's over revved on a little bit. You know, the hype of, oh my God, California is just getting obliterated by Texas. Well, yeah, it's kind of like the carrot, and, you know, they're dangling the carrot. Hey, tax incentives. So yeah, it's going to cost some people to move. But I think just as many, or what I'm seeing is just as many, you know, young entrepreneurs are still, you know, still desire California as a destination for them to build their business. Right. I mean, I met several of them just over the weekend alone. So it's a little bit of hype, but there is some truth to it. I think at the corporate level, now that's for real. You know, Texas has just always had a very, you know, lucrative tax plan, which is nothing for corporations entering the state. So that, if that trend continues, I think California will lose some other cachet, I should say, you know, of always being one of the top states in the country as far as business excellence or whatever you want to call it. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to highlight too that just I've read about over the last couple of weeks. It's so it comes around strategic plans for a business. And so here's some things to be mindful of, folks, as the election takes place and kind of the aftermath of it. So starting on November 7th, advertisers on Facebook will now have to complete a new disclaimer requirements in order to place ads, in addition to the identity verification process. So since 2016 election, Facebook's advertising policies have been questioned concerning accountability, verification of data, and conflicts of interest. So Facebook responded by implementing these new policies, which are going to take place following the election. So that's what I was saying kind of to open this podcast today, that's truly going to be an impasse moment, not just politically, but I mean, it's going to span business, it's going to be put in place, because they've been kind of, in some cases, waiting for it, like in this example of Facebook. Twitter is banning political ads starting in November. So their users are going to be expecting heavy political spending, free of heavy political spending, but the technical implementation of any policy can prove complex for advertisers as this rolls out. So we're going to see a lot more, I think, tightening up. You mentioned social media earlier, a lot of tightening up around social media platforms and the way people can and can't advertise. Obviously that's, that ventures into, you know, freedom of speech and all these others. So there's going to be all kinds of, I think, secondary and tertiary occurrences that are going to happen from it. So there's just a couple. And then finally, media companies in 2020 are forecasting ad spending, which was originally slated at about $6 billion, is looking more like $10 billion. And that's obviously politically motivated. So because of the way this election has started to shape up and the, you know, competitive nature between Trump and Biden, that's going to obviously cause a spike in that ad spending as well. And I think one thing to, I don't know how you feel about this, but I was pretty tuned in last week when, you know, during the VP debate, when they were talking about how Trump would not have a peaceful handoff if he was to, that's kind of, that's, I think, the first time in history we've ever heard that. So that wouldn't be really interesting. Like, what's going to happen? He's going to refuse to give up his power and office, or, like, you know, what even happens there?
Yeah, I don't even know what that really means. I don't even know how you can operationally define, you know, that, or conversely, the stacking of the courts.
Oh, yeah, look, don't even get started on that.
I was watching some of the confirmation hearings. I think it's what they're called, right? The confirmation hearings.
Yeah.
And I was watching and or listening, because I was driving. So I was listening to the questions, and wow, man, what an interesting time that is to have a fill a Supreme Court vacancy this close to an election, and further, a week after the election, a Obamacare case gets heard in the Supreme Court, which could be a near fatal blow to the Affordable Care Act, depending on how the Supreme Court decides on that particular case. So, man, you know, it's, and both sides have utilized the Supreme Court and stuff like that. But right now, because it's in the hands of the red, man, it's a crap show for sure. And they're going at it. So anyway, but yeah, that's another issue. I don't know if you want to weigh in on your Supreme Court hot sports opinion, Justin.
I mean, you're changing the makeup of something that's been in place for
right,
you know, and obviously I think it's been done once before. So obviously we can, it, you know, it's allowable, but I don't know, Bruce, that it just seems like an abuse of power a little bit. Maybe somewhat unnecessarily to
put somebody in or to that. Which
With Trump, with the
confirmations.
But, you know, time will tell. I mean, if it proves to be a, you know, fruitful endeavor and gets the country straightened out some way, you know, the legal system, it feels like more, it's not illegal, but almost illegal, stacking the deck. So that's my perspective on it. People will probably disagree. Some may agree, but that's just my thoughts on it. I mean, there's a lot he's done that's been great for the country, but yeah, then there's some suspect things like that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's just who's ever in that chair, you know, and as a Justice Department guy, I worked for Janet Reno, I worked for Eric Holder and Alberto Gonzalez and quite a few attorney generals in my day. And, you know, whoever's in the chair, man, has got the steering wheel and that's right. And that's where they're, you know, wherever their base is or whatever is going on, then that's the hand you're dealt. That's the hand you got to play, like it or not, you know what I mean? And so, but seemingly everybody gets their turn. You know, sooner or later, there's a cyclical thing. It'll be interesting to see with congressional seats and Senate seats coming up, and we'll see. This is very interesting. I'll be fascinated to see what happens with where the country really is at, and where do we have the silent majority again, or is there a new wave of empowered millennials and Zs that show up in force and either in person or with the mail and somehow, you know, vote a certain direction. We'll see.
I still think, again, this is my perspective, that the younger generations don't really see the importance of voting. I mean, in fact, just last night, you know, I'm in our local condo, you know, jacuzzi last night, talking to a couple younger folks and talking about this, and hey, you know, are you gonna vote? Right? I don't know. Like, it's like they don't get it that's sort of like not only a right, but it's sort of your duty as an American citizen.
Exactly.
So that was kind of frustrating because I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, you know, they bitch about this and that, but then they don't want to take any action to shift it, you know, in a different direction. So hopefully the young folks get out and vote, because that's really important, I think, to shaping the country, regardless of who ends up winning. It's just a good habit to get into.
Absolutely.
Admittedly, you know, the transfer of wealth is happening as we speak, kind of force-fed way because of COVID and some other factors. So
yeah,
it's really important that everyone gets out to vote, but especially the younger generations that are going to start to assume leadership roles and really shift things within our country here.
Yeah, they can't have that apathy just because one candidate doesn't excite them. They're not excited about the election, and so they're not. Some of them won't vote. Whereas I really thought that a lot of people were excited by the prospect of Hillary, you know, in the prior election, and it just, boy, I think everybody. I don't know how you felt, and I'm a Republican. I felt like, oh well, man, you know, I'm going to turn the TV on, and here we go. You know what I mean? I was thinking that Hillary had it wrapped up with the hype and the energy, obviously the media support, but that goes without saying. But and then you know, Trump wins, and now, like you said, if there's this kind of more lackluster spirit among those voters, that could be detrimental. That could be detrimental to the Democratic Party. We'll just have to see. I mean, you know, we'll just have to see. It's like you said. So what other, do you see any business, like, okay, if one person gets in branding and marketing and supply chain goes one way, if another, I mean, do you have any hot sports opinions from your?
In general, if Trump gets reelected, obviously continues to be good with tax incentives for big business, right? That'll continue to be the theme of his platform of how he runs the country is on a big business basis, which will be good for the stock market, you know, good for the economy in general. The lower income households are going to be affected by it. Biden, his platform is to obviously incentivize small business. So I think if you're a small business owner right now, you're probably going to vote Democrat, especially with everything that's happened. And Trump has made it, you know, known that he doesn't really want to, you know, do another round of funding for bailouts, right? Whereas I think that is part of Biden's plan is, you know, essentially to do another round of bailouts or funding, right, for the small business owners that got hammered because of COVID. So I think there's a very clear dividing line around, we'll call it small business or business owners, right, that aren't, you know, Fortune 500, Fortune 2000 companies, you know, that next step down, mid, you know, small, medium business. Major incentives for them with the Democratic Party, not any incentives, actually probably disincentives with the Republican Party. So I think that'll be a clear dividing line. It's going to, and this is where it gets tricky, right? Because economically, do you serve the people or do you serve the corporation, and which is going to push our economy further forward in the coming 48 years, right? That's where it gets really tricky. And I wanted to share a couple more stats with you just to close out on the social media.
Sure.
And media, if I will say. So 7 in 10 adults right now are reporting that they're worn out by the news. Think about that.
No, man, I'm one of them, yeah.
Every day, COVID this, they're scaring us about, you know, the implications of COVID.
Gloom and doom, yeah.
I mean, kind of, you know, too many dates, you know, like Mom, it's going to be okay. She's like, are you wearing your mask?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm wearing my mask when I'm, yeah, that's what I'm doing, Mom.
Oh, man. Okay.
It's, I don't know. I think part not as bad as they make it out to be. From what I've observed, it is a real thing, but the people who are, for the most part, being affected by it are a little bit older. Health is in decline. It's like the, you know, my parents' age range, right? They're right in the thick of, you know, needing to be extra protected. And I do wear my mask when I go grocery shopping and, you know, do certain activities. Right. But do I wear it every day, all day? When I'm around every single person, no, I'll social distance, right. But I'm not typically wearing my mask for every single meeting or every single activity that I do.
I got to tell you, I got my old man checkup and I went for some blood work, which I'm still alive and ticking. But it was interesting that the doctor said, oh, you don't wear your mask a whole lot, but I can tell that your blood is more oxygenated. I'm like, holy crap. Can you imagine some of the folks that, you know, what that's doing to them from wearing, if you're in a position where you have to wear a mask a lot of your waking hours, that even changes the blood work. So I was like, ooh.
So you're, okay, let's get this on air here. So you're saying that you're, blood is more oxygenated if you don't wear a mask as much.
Correct. I mean, because he was like, yeah, the guy, you know, three other guys came in, they wore masks all the time, and the hemoglobin counts and blah, blah, blah was way low. But, you know, because he kind of asked me what I did for a living. I said, you know, sit on my butt and drink coffee and talk to people. And there's a little humor there. But anyway, but it lends itself to, you know, a lot of phone talking to people. So I don't have a mask on. I drive without a mask on and do a little bit of meal prep these days. So I'm not going to public places to eat. Starbucks has a drive through, of course, that I...
You have to have your daily Starbucks.
I know. I'm sure there's some Republicans that are hating me right now for that. But anyway, that said, I just wanted to share that. I mean, that's unsolicited. I was taken aback because, you know, that mixed message, like, hey, wear a mask and this and that. But then it's like, hey, you know, I can tell you don't.
That is pretty big, Bruce. I mean, that's in line with what I was just saying, right? Which is,
right?
There's actually, and I suspected this, I wasn't doing it out of ignorance.
No.
I was doing it out of the research and the things that I had read. That, and you think about it, it makes sort of sense, right? Like if you, like a flu shot, let's just say, you're injecting yourself with a, you know, portion of the, you know, the virus, so you can build antibodies against it. And I don't know for a fact, but it seems logical that, you know, small exposure, you know, to COVID would help your body sort of get ready to send it off, kind of thing. Like, don't blatantly go and say, hey, with someone that's affected, hey, you know, breathe on my face. But, you know, if you're around it moderately, it actually might help. And it sounds like that's the case.
Or the part of the injection that's either benzene or mercury or whatever, that could also be a very harmful chemical. It's not related to the COVID or not related to the flu shot. And then, I don't want to get into the vaccine program. But I just figured, yeah, that was just an interesting, an interesting part of the blood work that, so your instincts are right. I mean, you're right in terms of what you've been reading and, you know, come on, Judd, like you're sitting there at Costco in California and the virus is in here, but I'm going to go out in the parking lot and take my mask off. You know what I mean? And no, there's no... Anyway, but hey, the NFL, Justin, I know you're keeping up with the NFL and sports.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched the Cowboys win yesterday after Dak Prescott went down for the rest of the year. not really. That was hard to. I don't know if you saw. I saw that live. That was hard to watch.
I did. I saw it. Yeah. I mean, I saw it on TV live, but not.
Yeah,
I was at Jerryville. I was on the 50. I was right. No, I wasn't there.
Yeah, you're right there. No, I mean, I saw it on TV live like you, and right when I saw it, I'm like, oh, he's done for the year. Like, it was bad, and you just could tell. I thought it was encouraging to see, you know, how much the teammates loved him and were showing affection for him.
Oh, yeah. Jason Garrett got to come on the field and give his, you know, his well wishes.
He's probably wishing he was still in Dallas.
For real.
Yeah. But he belongs in that sort of seat. He's not a head coach. He's a coordinator. You know, Lakers won it last night. All the NBA games were played in the bubble in Orlando. So for the last couple months, they've been, you know, all the playoff teams have been there at the bubble. And they had to, a couple folks, you know, came down with COVID, and then they had to quarantine. Same in the NFL. Cam Newton came down with it, so he's been quarantined.
Yep, Patriots, Titans.
Yep.
Those two, Bears, Chiefs. I'm kind of looking at this. I'd read something, Justin, about the NFL commissioner was going to, I mean, in light of so many new positive cases, that it was going to be difficult to do the remaining schedule and playoffs. But I can't say that I knew that. We'll keep you posted next week, I guess. I didn't know if you, but anyway, but yeah, I mean, so there's definitely, it's out there. It's real. People are getting exposed. Of course, President Trump and Melania, right?
We'll see how that shapes up. Like, they, to the scheduling point, they rescheduled one of the games and made it for Tuesday. I can't tell you if I've ever heard of or seen an NFL game on a Tuesday before.
Tuesday Night Football? Nope. Never have. I can't even.
I mean, pretty soon we're going to have NFL every night of the week. You know, we get Tuesday, we get Wednesday, then that's Monday through Thursday would be covered. Right. And then eventually they'll start the Saturday games when college slows down a little bit, like they typically do. So that'll be every day, but like Friday, which is kind of a high school football.
But right, but college is going to go strong. By the way, A&M beat Florida. Thank you very much.
I saw your post. You were so excited.
Oh my! Wouldn't you though? Oh my god!
That was good. That was good. Yeah.
If the Horns beat Florida, you would be coming out of your shirt.
And, yeah. Well, unfortunately, they lost to both TCU and Oklahoma, so their season's over as soon as it started. But the action's still very much in play.
You know, look, I'm. You know, if they can just string it, you know, they have a tough schedule. We've talked about that before. Bama's behind them, so maybe we'll get a few wins and we'll get something other than the CarQuest Bowl.
They still have Clemson and
Auburn?
Yeah, Clemson and Auburn. Those are going to be tough games.
You can't say that A&M doesn't have a tough schedule. Wow, and look at what Missouri did to LSU. 17th ranked LSU loses to, like, what, unranked Missouri? SEC.
Well, Texas lost unranked TCU and OU.
I'm not trying. Yeah, I know. I'll let you drag out.
No,
the Texas.
I'm just, you know, it's typical Texas bullshit every year. Now Mac Brown looks like a hero. He's out in North Carolina winning with them when he couldn't even come down on the field for practice when he was coaching the Longhorns.
I know. It's crazy.
It's like that. This is a revival or something.
It is. But anyhow, so much for COVID and football. That's our COVID and football.
Yeah, I think that'll. Football is such a moneymaker. I don't see them canceling the seasons. It's just there's too much money flow in that sport.
Well, I was going to say about Saturday football, Justin, is that it seems like a lot of the colleges are going to run pretty strong through at least December 5th, if not even a little bit later than December 5th. So I think they're going to run a little bit later than usual, which might put the kibosh on your pro Saturday football. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to put the kibosh on pro Saturday football, but that's going to be a hard multitask. You know what they should do? Just put the pro games way late at night, and that way all the diehard folks, they want to go ahead and step to 1 in the morning, whatever. Anyway.
Well, how is that for the pros, though, playing at 1 in the morning?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at least they're still playing and generating some income, but they
it's
don't
not
ask
a bad idea, though, have the evening games with the pros. So here's another stat I just that I've gathered as well. So social media, 46% of social media users are tired of seeing political posts on social media. And this has led them, many of them, to consume less news, or in some cases to deactivate their accounts. I am one of those, actually. I have deactivated, I'm active right now, or my accounts are online right now. But for a while there, I had some of my accounts deactivated because I just didn't want to see it. You know, it's like, it's the same shit every day. It's the same negative shit every day. And I just didn't want to consume that sort of, you know, media or news or whatever you want to call it. So I think you're going to see more people, especially as we get up to the election and then on the other end of it, there's going to be some out there movements that happen from this.
But I think, you know, either way, business will be moving forward, at least for the first year of the new term, if you will. Let me ask you this question, Justin. I mean, do you think, I mean, you have real estate as one service line, and you do your business, I'd like to say business consulting, on the other. Any kind of, I think that's pretty good coverage. I think that's good 360 degree coverage, right? Because if person X wins the election and that bodes well for real estate, then you're there. If person Y wins, it might not be so good for real estate, but then the business, other business sectors, right, would fire up, and you would be there for that. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, exactly. And that's honestly part of why I diversified the way I did, is you learn some things over the years. And if you anchor down with only one service line, if that sector gets blown up.
I'm so proud of you, man. That's a page out. Here you go, man. Yes, sir. Yeah. Multiple service lines. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And it's not just the, I mean, I'm also doing, still doing the coaching. You know, I have a couple people that I'm coaching. One gal in particular. I mean, I have a standing nightly call with her, and she's a fucking rock star, man. I mean, just in the last, I've been coaching her for about almost 2 months now. And she took on this new project at a dental restoration clinic, I guess you can call it. They have multiple offices. They have like 5 offices here in Southern California. Nice. And they hired her on to be the sales leader for the office. So she's got responsibility for like 5 reps and a certain quota to attain selling these dental restoration packages. And they do a lot of the marketing through like AdWords and you know, Google PPC, you know what I mean? So just talking her through, a lot of this stuff is stuff I've done in the past with former projects, Babylon in particular, as far as standing up a sales team. So just walking her through the mechanics of, okay, you know, she was like frustrated one day. Hey, you know, what do I do? The marketing team is telling me this and that. I'm like, well, they're bullshitting you. You got to ask them, you know, back into the KPIs, back into what their strategy is for ensuring that you get quality leads every day, right? So I think opportunities like that are going to continue to present themselves, not only for me, but for others, right? Because people are looking for snap, I'll call it snap knowledge or snap toolage. Like, right. Hey, I need something now, I need something fast, I need something that's going to have impact, right? So yeah. I suspect that you too, I mean, like, the coaching thing, I don't see that going away anytime soon. So that's still in play. And then, you know, consulting is the more complex, strategic, longer-term projects with lots of moving pieces, lots of moving levers, and then real estate, you know. So just keeping busy, you know, just like you. I mean, I'm not going in and hanging out with the UFC fighters or anything, but.
There's a walkout jacket for the person. Yes, right out there. You know what's so funny? Talk about a silver lining in the Biden cloud. So part of the stimulus package that Congress had proposed, you know, Nancy Pelosi and others, one of the line items in this thing was like federal prisoners over the age of 50, like, get out. Which would have been a windfall, you know. On that, my federal prison stream, I about collapsed when one of my more astute friends in Washington, D.C. told me that. Like, hey, man, like, you see this line in this bill? Like, oh, my gosh, they snuck that in. And not that I agree with that, because I think there's some pretty interesting sex offenders and murderers that might fall in that. They've done a lot of time, but. That might be precluded because they're crimes of violence. But hey, you know what I mean? A lot of these white collar guys and Ponzi schemers would have hit a windfall. But anyhow, I digress. But so yeah, there's something for everybody, Justin.
Yeah, I. Yes. So actually, some of the propositions on the ballot are quite interesting too, at least from a California perspective. So they had one bond on stem cell research. Allowing diversity as a factor in public employment. 17, Proposition 17, restoring the right to vote after. So this is related to you, and I love your thoughts on this. So it's kind of in line with what you're talking about. So Proposition... Hello? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. You're better. That's better. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Just cut out for a second there.
It's just low. It's okay.
So Proposition 17 restores the right to vote after completion of prison term.
Right. Usually,
what do you think? What do you think about that one?
You know, I just have mixed feelings. I think, you know, that's a move for a party to get more votes. But you know what? You'd be surprised how many. It wouldn't be surprised you how many Republican types come out of prison. You know what I mean? So it's not necessarily. A windfall for either party. I think, honestly, you know, I think it's okay if the voting rights. I feel another way about gun rights. You know what I mean? The ability to have a firearm is like not there, but the voting rights. Some people get restored. There's variability. It can be a couple years. Some people it's 7 years. So. Sooner or later, people get their voting rights back. So moving that forward.
I kind of like it, actually. I mean, it's like it's a U.S. citizen right. So I think, you know, they've done their time. They're back, you know, out of society again. They should be.
And it connects them to the world, I think. It connects them to the world. So I don't have... you know, much issue on that. So,
Prop 18, which is Constitution permitting 17-year-olds to vote in primary and special elections. If they turn 18 by the next general election and be otherwise eligible to vote. Man. And this is a legislative constitutional amendment. Okay. How do you feel about that one?
Yeah, that's kind of another reach there. You see that one coming. That would certainly favor another party. You know, I mean, it's interesting, you know. Are you old enough to drink? Are you old enough to vote? Are you old enough to have sex? You know, the age of consent, I guess, in California, yeah. As long as there's not 10 years difference between the voters.
Yeah, it's like 13 in California.
Anyway, man. Woo! Hey, we got 2 minutes left, you know. Woo! Coming close to the end here, man. Starting to heat up.
Yeah, I'll just go through to the rest of these real quick, and then I'm sure we'll be out of time. There's like five more. Prop 19 changes certain property tax rules. That one's kind of California. Prop 7 or Prop 20. This is another one for you. Restricts parole for certain offenses currently considered to be nonviolent. Authorizes felony sentences for certain offenses currently treated only as misdemeanors. So that's kind of like just more.
A lot of language, though. There's a lot of variability in that, man. And the feds don't do parole anyway. That's a state type of thing. Yeah.
Prop 21 expands local government authority to enact rent control. Prop 22 exempts app-based transportation and delivery companies from providing employee benefits to certain drivers. So this is along the whole Uber thing with, are they employees or are they contractors, which I think most people are wanting to be contractors, but with benefits, which I don't know how that works out.
Well, we'll have to do another show on the gig economy. We're at time, brother.
We're at time. Let's wrap it up. Take us home.
All right, folks. Well, another good show today here. Good to have everybody back on camera and back participating. Good to be back. And, you know, come visit us next week here at the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. And don't forget to see us on our social media, the Concierge Coaches on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
Website, nimmergood.com. I really love that shirt too, by the way, Bruce.
Very golfy, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, man. We're both golfers today. I wish I was out there.
Me too.
Maybe another time, man. Well, take care, everybody, and we'll see you next week on the Concierge Coaches Show. Take care. Be safe.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.